from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Thuy Vu. In today for Michael Krasny, unions representing over 2,000 BART employees voted overwhelmingly Wednesday to authorize a strike, which could begin as early as Monday, potentially affecting hundreds of thousands of daily commuters. We'll hear from BART and a representative of one of the unions. And then we'll turn our attention to a controversial new crime-fighting tool, license plate readers. Are they a boon for law enforcement or an invasion of privacy? That's all coming up ahead on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio, good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Thuy Vu, in for Michael Krasny. The Bay Area is bracing for what could soon be a huge mess for commuters if BART workers go on strike. The unions representing more than 2,000 BART employees voted overwhelmingly this week to authorize a strike. Their current labor contract expires Sunday, and the two sides remain far apart on key issues, including salary increases, health insurance premiums, and contributions to pensions. Our guests this morning are Tom Radulovich, president of the BART Board of Directors, and Antoinette Bryant, president of the Amalgamated Transit Union Local 1555. Thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Now, are talks continuing today, and are you making any progress, Antoinette?
Talks are continuing today. It's very slow. It's a difficult process right now.
And Tom?
What Antoinette said. Yeah, we're going to keep talking till we've got an agreement. It's really important to the people of the Bay Area that we keep talking. And I think all parties know that.
And when do negotiations start again this morning? And what are your biggest sticking points? I know you're very far apart on these salary increases, for example.
We start as soon as I get back. And our biggest concern is health and safety. We are extremely concerned about the health and safety of our passengers as well as our workers. We were presented with some figures that indicate that in the last 3 years, at only five stations, 2,446 crimes were committed. And these crimes were serious enough that they needed to be reported to the FBI, as well as over 1,100 assaults against passengers and 99 against workers. This is something that we are extremely, extremely concerned about, and it is our number one priority. We want the riders to be safe, and we want our workers to be safe as well.
And you've been hitting hard on those points, I know, because I heard just another radio ad this morning talking about that. But are those assaults really tied to what's in the contract talks and what's at issue here on the table?
Absolutely. Our health and safety is absolutely important, and it's something that has to be discussed at the table. And we want to put forth contract proposal provisions that will provide safety for our workers and safety for the passengers that ride BART every day. This is a great system. We love our job. We love BART. I've been riding BART since it was 30 cents and you put your money in the gate and you got the ticket and it popped out. I think that everybody that comes to work for ATU loves their job. They love what they do. They take pride in it. And we want to make sure that not only are we safe, but the passengers that we carry back and forth are safe as well.
Tom, what do you make of that? Is this a valid point, or do you think it's a smokescreen trying to get away from the conversation about salary increases and how you want the workers to put more money into their pension plan and their health plans?
They are valid points. Absolutely, we need to make sure that our workers are safe and that our riders are safe. That's got to be paramount. However, these negotiations, we do need to grapple with some tough issues around wages. We need to deal with pension costs, which are rising at 6.5% a year, much faster than inflation, much faster than our ridership or our revenue. Healthcare costs that have gone up 13% a year on average for the past 10 years. We, as a district, we provide a good wage and benefit package. We're at the top in this region. We're at the top in the country. We should be. It's an expensive place to live. Our workers work hard. We need to make sure we can sustain that and begin to reinvest in the system. Some of those safety questions that we have are about staffing. Some of them are about management. Some of them are about capital investments that we need to make. We heard SEIU talking about lighting in the trackway. We need to renovate that lighting. We need to renovate stations. We need to add cameras. We need to buy new rail cars so that they're safe. We've got the oldest fleet in the country. So those essential reinvestments that, frankly, we've been kicking down the road for a long time are things we need to do. So this is the balancing act the board's looking at, that we need to sort of figure out a way to provide a lifetime security for our workers, both good wages while they're working and then security in their old age, which they deserve. I mean, my mom was a teacher. I believe that people who serve the public deserve to have some security both while they're working and in old age. But we also need to grapple with the fact that those increases in benefits aren't sustainable. Even in the economic downturn, they continue to go up. We also need to deal with the fact that with shrinking support from the federal government, from state government for our essential capital needs, we're on our own. That's what the feds and the state are telling us. So some of the money that we raise from fares, from our riders, and from taxes has got to go to those essential capital needs to keep our system safe, to keep it reliable, and to be able to serve a growing ridership.
Well, let me outline some of the proposals that have been tossed out for our listeners, because a lot is at stake here. You have you have 400,000 riders daily. I used to take BART myself as a student at Cal and would take it down to the Fremont station and then be picked up to get down to San Jose. So a lot of people use your system, and the union essentially wants a 23.5 salary increase over the next 3 years, make a lower employee contribution into the health plan than what the what BART's management wants. Management is tossing out 4% salary increases over the next 4 years and contribute 7% of paychecks to pensions. That's what you want from the employees. Are you getting any closer, or are those numbers still that far apart, Antoinette?
I would like to address first some of the comments that were made with regard to what's going on. We absolutely are a family. We have a job to do. Our members have a job to do, operating the trains, making sure the stations are safe, and getting people back and forth. Conversely, the board has a responsibility, too. We have done our part. We have a 95.5, I believe it is, on-time rating to get passengers back and forth. We've done that with a four-year hiring freeze. Our members stepped up, came to the plate, and have been, because we love our job, getting people back and forth the way that they're supposed to, getting people to and from. We have 400,000 people that we carry daily. The revenue fare box is up. We understand that the district needs to get some money from the operating surplus. We get that. But there are other sources that they need to be looking to. That is their job. It's the responsibility of the board to go seek those sources out and get that money to do the capital repairs and take care of everything that is a capital project. We, on the other hand, are doing our job. We expect the board to do theirs. It's been very disappointing to see our members slandered in the media by these high-priced political hit people. We work hard every single day. We are seeing slamming in the newspaper. There were people out handing out cards, totally inflating what our salary is. Because, in fact, if those figures are true, somebody owes me some money. Though, you know, and it's disappointing. It's extremely disappointing to have members of your family putting out information that is not correct. With regard to your question, we have proposals that we have put forth that we believe are very fair and very equitable. We have not gotten a raise since 2009. Our wages are down 11% in the Bay Area. The wage package that we are putting forth is a fair one. It's an equitable one for the people, for the work that we do. We work in a very, very wonderful system. We take pride in it. We take ownership in it. We're doing our part. We expect the board to do their part.
Tom, I'll let you respond to that in a moment, but I just want to let our listeners know that we're discussing a possible BART strike, and we do want to have you join in the conversation. It could start as soon as this Monday if BART and the unions representing more than 2,000 BART employees don't come to an agreement when their labor contract expires Sunday. Our guests this hour are Tom Radulovich, president of the BART Board of Directors, and Antoinette Bryant, president of the Amalgamated Transit Union, Local 1555. Join us at 866-733-6786. You can call us again at 866-733-6786, or you can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. Tom, your response to both things that she said, two major points, which is she feels like she's the employees feel like they've been slandered by the Bart family, and also they feel they're package of proposals is a fair one.
We haven't put out anything that's untrue. There is a media circus out there. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I hate the way these negotiations run. The answer is going to come at the negotiating table. It's not going to be the sideshow. And so everything that I've tried to do is get people to the negotiating table and stay negotiating. Now, unfortunately, you know, it always ends up with, you know, all this, you know, shock and awe and all the storm and drang and all the drama in public. That's not where the settlement's going to happen. It's going to happen at the negotiating table. So I hope everybody ignores all that, actually, frankly. And the best thing we can do for all parties is to stay at the table till we work through these issues, because we're going to have to work with each other after this is all done. And, you know, I've sat in the boardroom and I've heard all the things said about, you know, my six-figure salary as a director, which is a joke, and all of the other stuff that goes on. There's a lot of disinformation out there, but there are some facts. And one of the facts is 23% wage increase plus, you know, continuing the districts paying 100% of the employee share of the pension, which, as I mentioned, is going up in double digits every year. That's not sustainable. The district cannot sustain a wage increase like that. So there's going to be a settlement. It's going to be somewhere in between what management proposed and what the unions have proposed. And, you know, that's the thing. We need to get to that compromise. I was actually going back and looking at some of the flyers from 2009 when we, when the unions actually had got the settlements and were trying to sell this to workers. If you look at what we were able to do in 2009 in terms of preserving wages and benefits, in particular, we've done extraordinarily well. What we've seen all up and down California and the Bay Area is workers asked to pay a larger share of medical or pension. We're an outlier. The fact that our workers pay 0% of their salary to sustain a pension is almost unheard of in the region. Here in San Francisco, workers pay 7 to 8% of their salary, and we're still comparable with them in wages. So the benefit package that workers have right now is a very good one. We want the new one to be a very good one, but there's really limits to what we can afford. As Antoinette was saying, it is our job to fund all the renovations to the system. If the feds in the state are saying, you know, there's no money, if MTC, the regional agency, is saying, we'll give you 75% of your capital needs, but you need to find 25%, needs to come out of your fare box, needs to come from your riders, needs to come from your tax revenues. That's, yes, that is a challenge for us. We need to solve that problem together. It's not fair for the unions to say, well, that's your problem, just pay us. Because as directors, we have an obligation to do both the capital side and make sure we can pay our workers and make sure that we can maintain the quality service. We're trying to balance all of that. We can't just look at one component of that and let the other two go to hell.
Well, let's bring in some of our listeners now. Katrina from Alamo, you're on forum. Welcome.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to know what the definition of a hiring freeze is, because I personally know two people who've been hired in the last 2.5 years by BART. And secondly, I think there's a public perception of the BART positions being fairly cushy. And I'll give you an example. When there was a problem on the BART tracks a few weeks ago, there was someone on a BART train who was filming the work that was being done on the tracks as the train went by. My husband and I slowed that tape down and counted over 40 people standing around. Finally, three people were working. Is that really what we wanted to be doing with our public money?
Antoinette, do you want to take that?
I would respond this way. First of all, the hiring freeze that I'm referencing has to do specifically with the jobs that are in my unit, and that would be train operators, station agents, and four other classifications. I cannot speak for the other jobs that are at BART, but I can speak for what has been done within our class, within our units. And they just, BART just started hiring within the last year in those categories. There was a 4-year freeze. With regard to what happened on the tracks, that is not in my area, but I will say that There's a lot that has to be done and undertaken when there's a track problem, and they have to make sure that everything is in place. So there are a variety of people that are out there to ensure that before they let a train come through, that everything that needs to be addressed has been addressed, so that every passenger that's on that train that's coming through knows that it is safe passage and that they can get through.
Okay, Katrina, thanks for that call. Let's go now to Alicia in Oakland. Welcome to Forum.
Hi, thank you. I just had a comment. I think that the union should hold a Kickstarter campaign and make a statement to the board of directors and sort of say, like, hey, there's a lot of people out there in the Bay Area who are willing to crowdfund, like, what we need. This is embarrassing. We need more money for safety for our workers, for the longevity of our program.
Well, I don't know if crowdfunding something like this is going to work. I'm not sure I understand your point, Alicia.
I think it makes a statement. I think if you ask for money from the public, and the public who uses the BART system every day is willing to donate because we believe in it, it will make the board of directors look kind of silly for not helping you, you know, not negotiating with you. And someone like me, I use BART every day. I don't want BART to go down for one day. I can't get to work if that happens. I'm effectively sort of SOL.
Okay, I see your point. All right, point well taken, Alicia. Thank you.
I mean, the main point is the public are giving every day. You know, BART is sustained by tax revenues. It's sustained by the fare box. And, you know, we need to manage those funds responsibly. People do pay. And it's been tough for a lot of people over the last 4 years as, you know, wages are decreasing in the Bay Area, as budgets are tight. We need to keep BART affordable to the folks who ride. And that is another obligation of BART and our board, and something we're really mindful of as a board.
And Tom,
I'd like to,
if I
could, clarify some points. Mm-hmm. I believe that Director Radulovich indicated about our pensions. Our pensions 92% funded. In the last contract, we agreed to pay a 3%. Actually, it was prior to that. We agreed to pay a 3% every year increase on our health benefits. We do not receive Social Security at all. I am a worker that has been working at BART for 22 years. If I were to retire on my salary is $61,000 a year. It is not $137,000, which was put out by cards yesterday by BART.
Well, that was including benefits, I think. Mm-hmm. That's
and also
that
overtime, which someone would owe me some money if that was the case, because I don't make $11,000 a year in overtime. But I would say this. If I were to retire on my salary, it would be $21,000 a year. The fact is that our pensions are 92% funded. The four-year pay increase that the district is offering is contingent. It is not a 4% pay increase. The first percent is. The other three are based on meeting goals. So I want the public to understand that. We have put forth proposals that will save the district millions with regard to our workers' comp program. Right now, our members are injured, and so they can't come back to work. We are proposing a program that would save the district millions in not only getting them back to work, but getting them the treatment that they need instead of saying, oh, you can't work anymore. See you later. There are other proposals we've made that will save the district millions, and we're getting a response at the table that's no, 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 or we're not interested. That is not negotiating. We expected that the district would come to the table and negotiate with us. A no, 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 and a no, we're not interested, is not negotiating. We are prepared to negotiate. We don't want any worker to be stranded. We don't want a mom not to be able to pick up her kids. We don't want students not to be able to get to school. We don't want workers not to be able to get to work. We want to settle this contract. That's what we're looking for.
And I know that both sides are returning to the bargaining table later today after you're done talking with us.
Yes.
But I want, Tom, since I have you here, I have to ask you about this. This does not have to do directly with the strike, but it does have to do with BART's finances and how the operation is run. There are news reports now that Dorothy Duggar, who used to head BART, the former general manager, she retired under pressure more than 2 years ago. She had a gross salary of more than $333,000 last year without doing a single day of work. She had a lucrative retirement scheme. She basically, you know, sat back and burned off a lot of unused vacation time, kept on drawing paychecks. This was on top of the $920,000. That's nearly $1 million that BART paid to Duggar to leave after the agency's board didn't handle the effort to fire her so well. There were some violations of public meetings laws there. How do you respond to that? That's an enormous sum of money to give to somebody, $330,000 for doing nothing.
Right. Well, that was her contract. So the way that it worked, she had been at the district a long time. And anyone who knows Dorothy knows she never took vacations. She never took sick days. So in her contract, she was able to take that as terminal leave, which means that all that vacation and sick leave time that she'd accrued, it was paid out as leave. We've changed those rules for represented employees over the years. What usually happens, though, is people are grandfathered in. So if you've accrued sick leave, they don't take it away from you. If you've accrued vacation days under an old rule, they don't take it away from you. So that was the situation that we had with Dorothy. I should say on pension, she's got the same pension benefits that the other employees do. All the pensions are through the public employee retirement system. So obviously, if her salary is more, her pension is going to be more.
But Tom, I mean, you've been on the board a long time. 16 years. Mm-hmm. What's your reaction to that? Because your colleague on the board, James Fang, said, wow, when he found out she was still on the payroll. I did not know this. It's startling. Did you know she was still on the payroll?
I didn't know she was still on the payroll.
You didn't know?
I didn't
know. As a board member, weren't you?
Well, I knew that we had. I knew that she had had that accrued vacation leave. I didn't know that we were paying it out as, you know, by keeping her on the payroll. But yeah, I knew what she was entitled to per her contract. And, you know, it was a contract. It may not have been the smartest contract, but it was a contract that she had for a long time.
Is that something the BART board will now take a look at changing in the future?
Yeah, we're going to look at that. And one of the things that's important to us is that we treat employees consistently. Now, again, you know, just as with our unions, it's a negotiation. With our board appointed officers, there's a negotiation. So they have contracts too, and we'll have to negotiate that. But I think the sentiment on the board is shifting. There have been battles that I have fought and lost in the past about this. But I think if we're asking, you know, our represented workers to, you know, have a certain scheme in terms of pension or retirement and all that, we're in a much stronger position if we ask the non-represented employees to do that. Now, they'll make the case their job is different. You know, if they work along, they don't get overtime. There's obviously the board appointed officers work at the pleasure of the board. So there's greater risk than if you're a BART employee where, you know, if you have to be dismissed for cause. So so we need to look at the differences. But the extent to which we can treat people consistently, I think we're better off as a board. And as Antoinette says, we're a family. We're a little dysfunctional family right now. but the more we can treat members of the family fairly going forward, I think the stronger we are as a district. No matter what happens this month or next or whenever this gets settled, we have to all work together again. We've all given our lives to BART in some way. We've all made sacrifices to be here. So that's important to us is, you know, we need to treat each other fairly.
And if I could, I think Tom's exactly right. I mean, we do have to make sacrifices, and our members did. In 2009, BART represented at the table that there was a $310 million deficit. So our members gave back over $100 million in concessions. And then the next year, which happened to be an election year, there was a fair rollback. There were, you know, there was a fair rollback. I mean, now, again, here we are 4 years later, there's this cry of, we're in a deficit. We are not in a deficit. The numbers that are being relayed are rubber numbers. It's changing almost daily on what the figures are. It makes it difficult for us to negotiate. Our members have given back, and we have given back, and we have given back. And what we're putting forth right now is a fair contract proposal based on those givebacks and based on the fact that right now BART is... they have money, and they will have money.
Okay, Antoinette, we'll give you the last word on that since we're running out of time here. But again, contract negotiations resume today, and the contract expires Sunday. We hope there isn't a strike. The last strike was in 1997. That lasted 6 days. Let's hope that that doesn't happen again. We were joined this half hour, by Tom Radulovich, president of the BART Board of Directors, and Antoinette Bryant, president of the Amalgamated Transit Union, Local 1555. Thank you both for being part of our program. I'm Tui Vu. Here today for Michael Krasny. Thanks for listening.